Scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
I want to say thank you, first of all, to our teachers that are beginning this new quarter for the preparations that you have made. Jay did a wonderful job in class this morning getting us started, and you ought to take a stroll down the education wing and look at the classrooms that have been prepared by the teachers. All of them have made great preparation to make this quarter something that would be beneficial to us in our studies and in our growth as Christians. And along those lines, I would encourage us to look at it as a new opportunity to start fresh with a new set of Bible facts and a new opportunity to commit those to our memory. And I hope that we'll do that as adults, but I hope we as parents will make a valiant effort to find the time to work with our children to help them learn those facts as well. We live in a world today that has a weakening interest in the idea of being thankful. If you'll just look at some of the debates that have taken place in the news and in our society over the last few weeks, discussions about whether or not there even ought to be a holiday called Thanksgiving. You can look in the neighborhoods around to see the rush to get to the next one and just rush by the one that our culture has for so long used as an opportunity to reflect and to be thankful. We seem to be in a hurry to get past the "He gave me" period of life to the "please give me" period of life. And that's a shame, because there's so many blessings, lessons, and opportunities that are missed when we fail to stop and express gratitude and to give thanks, especially to the God of heaven. This mentality has not proven successful for life in the past. If you'll think back to the beginning of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, when Paul speaks on that occasion, describing the sinfulness of the world around him, the state of destitution of the people of that day, he describes the attitude and their sentiment of heart as, "Neither were they thankful." And it's often been said that ingratitude is the first step to apostasy. That is, the first step away from God is a step of ingratitude or unthankfulness. Admittedly, this time of year can be very difficult for people. With the things that are thrown at us in life and the difficulties and the challenges and the losses that we face in life, those things make this period of time on the calendar very difficult. But as Christians, there is always that for which we can be thankful. Even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of tragedy and difficulty, there are always things for which we can turn our hearts and minds to God and express gratitude to him. The point of this lesson this morning is to help us reflect on some things that maybe we don't regularly think about when it comes to Thanksgiving. And even as the title might be for this sermon this morning, Thanksgiving is not just a sentiment of cultural expression. It is a way of living. It is the mindset possessed by the children of God. Let me put before us four aspects of this great truth this morning, that Thanksgiving is not just a sentiment of cultural expression. It's much more than that for us, for children of God. here's the first thing that maybe I haven't regularly thought about that I should think about. In every period of my life, whether up or down, happy or sad, here's some things, and here's the first one. I can be thankful for His steadfast loving kindness that endures forever. The passage that I have in mind this morning is an obscure passage. It is the case that practically every book of the Bible leads us to the idea, the concept of looking Godward and being thankful. But even the most obscure books, books that we would not necessarily think of as books that teach us to be thankful, like 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." And my translation, the New King James, says, "For His mercy endures forever." But if you have other translations out there this morning, you are likely noticing the variation of translation. Some say, "For His loving kindness." Some say, "For His steadfast loving kindness." When you see an idea like this, or when you see this among the translations, that there is variation in the translating of a particular word, that typically demonstrates the difficulty and the challenge of the translators in capturing the full essence or the idea of what the writer is saying there. Think about that this way. His steadfast loving kindness that endures forever. There is a lot in that statement. Steadfast, the idea of never ending, never slowing down. Nothing impedes this particular aspect of God's care for us. His what? His loving kindness. Mercy is a great word, but maybe loving kindness gives us a better picture or a more full picture of what we're talking about. What is this about God, His loving kindness? Well, think about just kindness. You can be kind in a situation where you really don't want to. That's not your first idea or thought, to be kind. But we can force ourselves to be kind because that's the right thing to do. But what about loving kindness? Where your kindness is genuine and it's manifested out of a sense of love and care and concern for the one that you're showing this sentiment to. That's God's mercy. That's God's loving kindness. It's not extended to us out of mere obligation. No, God is merciful to us. He is kind to us because of His love toward us. And so we have His steadfast, nothing impedes it, loving kindness that endures forever. Numerous are the verses expressing this sentiment in the Word of God. I mean, they're numerous, wherein Bible writers remind us of God's loving kindness or His mercy, and attached or associated with that reminder is the admonition for us to give thanks to God for it. The qualities of God, especially this, are so much different than what we encounter in the world. I mean, people can be fickle, right? We think about steadfast loving kindness that endures forever. People don't always offer that or extend that. We're not perfect. We're human beings. When you think about fickle, we think about changing frequently in loyalty, interest, and affection. Someone can be interested in you today and tomorrow, they're not. They're fickle. They lack steadfastness in their loyalty to relationships or in their interest in you or me and affection toward us. And that can be very hurtful. It can be damaging to us in many ways. But God is not like that. God is one who is steadfast in his emotions of love and care and concern for us. It never ends. It never weakens. It never changes. Unlike people. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, Jesus talked about those who would abandon law and truth and right. He calls them lawless people. And he says that the love of many will grow cold. That's the case today with people. The further away from God they get, the more love grows cold. It can happen even among us with brothers and sisters in Christ. The further away we individually get from God, the weaker our loving kindness for one another can become. Back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 31, Paul described those people who were unthankful, who had moved away from God in their ingratitude. Listen, he describes them as untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, unforgiving. That's the way of man in his imperfections. And if we completely and entirely put our faith and trust in people, we are off to be disappointed. But not so with God. He's not fickle. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 of God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's steadfast. His loving kindness endures forever. Whether in sickness, God will not leave us. Whether in trials, God won't leave us. Whether in grief, he will not leave our side, because his loving care, mercy, and compassion for us endures forever. And this morning, as we think about Thanksgiving, perhaps in ways we've not thought about it before, I hope we're admonished to remember his steadfast loving kindness toward us that endures forever. Number two. As I think about being thankful to God, I can be thankful for his good name that cannot be rightly called into question. I remember a plaque that my father gave me as a child. And it said at the top of it, your name. And then it had a poem about the importance of your name. And I have it memorized, and I would recite it, but sure as I say I have it memorized, I would forget part of it and look real silly. So you Google it and look for the poem entitled Your Name. And think about the sentiments expressed in it, how you got it from someone else who had cherished it and took care of it, and how it became an opportunity, an obligation for you to protect and cherish it and try not to mar it. I can't say that I always have always lived up to that. It's hard being human to live up to certain standards and protecting and preserving the purity of a name. But when I think about God's name, we can be thankful for his name because no one, now people call it into question all the time, but no one can rightly call the name of God into question. God's name is good because of the good associated with it, good for which I can be very thankful. The psalmist said in Psalm 54 and verse 6, I will freely sacrifice to you, I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. God's name is a good name, and that because of the good associated with it. There are names in the business world, in our society, that we're supposed to remember because of the name. You know the commercial about the company BDO. Anybody who knows BDO. I don't know much about BDO. But I do know a little bit about the name of God, and that in every realm of life, it is a good name to which men and women can turn in hope and confidence because of the good associated with it. The Proverbs writer said this in Proverbs 18:10. Listen, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Where can you run this morning? In sickness, in trials, in adversity, in grief? What name can you run to this morning with confidence and hope and trust that it will be a good decision? Well, to God's name, because of the manifold good associated with it. It is a name that provokes thoughts of nearness. It is a name that provokes thoughts of presence in our lives. You know the State Farm jingle, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Well, even more than that, like a good neighbor, the God of heaven is there. In whatever circumstances we might find ourselves, in whatever part of the calendar year, whether up or down, easy, difficult, challenging, God's name is a name that we can turn to, because his good name cannot rightly be called into question. The psalmist said in Psalm 75 in verse 1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works, declare that your name is near. We find ourselves in situations of life where they may seem insurmountable. We don't know how we're going to get from point A to point B. But when we have turned our faith, confidence, and hope to the name of our God, a name with which is associated good, we have found our way through those trying and difficult times. And it will always be that way. I can turn to men, I can turn to other hopes in life, but none of them will deliver me like turning to the name of the God of heaven. And so this morning I can be thankful for his good name that cannot rightly be called into question. Number three, I can be thankful for his continued provision in a world that takes so much away. We have so much to lose in this life. That's the problem with being blessed and having in abundance. There seems to be more that can be taken away from us. We can lose a job when it's really not convenient to lose a job. We can lose family when it's never convenient to lose family. We can lose friends when we need them most. We can lose our health when we had hoped to have it for much longer. This world, by its very nature, takes away. But God is a God who continues to make provisions in that kind of world. It's easy to focus on what we don't have and to get lost in dwelling on what we are missing or missing out on. But every day is a new day, the Bible says. Every day is a new day on which we can return to God in thanksgiving. The psalmist expresses it this way in Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. There is something about every new day that is cause for giving thanks to God. At times, it may be nothing more than thanksgiving for having made it through yesterday. But a new day is opportunity to be thankful to him. And every day God gives us a new day as long as this life and this earth stands. I know life can get ugly. It can get very messy. But truly, if we can focus our minds the way God wants them to be focused, we will never be empty. We never will. Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 is one passage that reminds us of this. Verse 19 in particular records where Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. In times where I don't know how I'm going to make it through something, I can be reminded by passages such as this that God will supply all our needs. Not all our wants, not all of our wishes, but all of what we need. If I need to be sustained through difficulty, God can supply all those needs. If I need to be carried through a dark day, God can supply all of those needs. Needs are what God is about fulfilling. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, after demonstrating that God takes care of the birds of the air, he takes care of the flowers of the field, we're admonished by Jesus to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Not everything we want, not everything exactly like we want, but what we need, God will supply for us. Even when it's ugly, even when it's messy, and even when we have a tendency to feel empty, God is there to supply what we need to keep our hearts and minds focused on him. And let's not forget, as easy it is to get attached to the things of this life and this world, let's not forget that ultimately the blessings that God is interested in providing for us are beyond this realm. They're spiritual blessings. They're blessings that are in Christ Jesus to those who hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized into Jesus Christ in obedience to the gospel, who are added to the fold of God, his family, the church, the body of Christ. There we become recipients of those things that really matter, that transcend this world into the next. Indeed, all spiritual blessings, and namely the salvation of our souls from the sins of this world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." When I think about ways in which I could be thankful that perhaps I have not to this period in my life, I can certainly think about his continued provision in a world that takes so much away from us. Number 4 this morning. Thanksgiving is not just a sentiment of cultural expression. It is a mindset. It is the motivation, the focus of a life lived for God. And in it, I can be thankful for the opportunity that I have to model these same traits to the glory of God. What traits? The 3 that we just looked at. I can be thankful to God for the opportunity given to me to be that and to do that as I live for him. Let's rehearse them one more time from this perspective. First, I can model God's loving kindness to those around me. If you want fake love, if you want fake interest, if you want fake loyalty, there are plenty of people in this world to whom you can turn and receive that kind of treatment. But when we come to this place, to this group of people, that's not what we ought to get. What we ought to find is people modeling the same behaviors and expressing the same sentiments in their life that God does toward each of us. And you and I can be thankful that God has modeled for us and then has given us the opportunity to model for others what true loving kindness looks like. To be kind and caring toward others, but not because it's an obligation, because we love one another. And that's how we want deeply, truly to treat one another, because that's what we feel in our own hearts. And so I can be thankful that I can model God's loving kindness to those around me. Number 2, thinking about the second point and observation we made, I can be thankful for the opportunity to wear his name in a way that speaks good to his glory and honor. No, when you think about a name that cannot rightly be marred by the accusations of men, I have the opportunity to wear that name and then to live in a way that reflects the good of God's nature. If I'm going to wear the name Christian, I ought to wear it well, and I ought to wear it right, and I ought to be a model for others to see the goodness of God through the way that I live. And I can be thankful to God every day for the opportunity to wear His name. I'm proud of my name. I'm proud of what my father did for His name before I came into this world. I'm thankful to have had that name passed on to me. But even above and beyond that, the fact that God would give us a new name based upon who He is and what He does is something for which I can be thankful, and I should wear it well. And number three, I can be thankful for the opportunity to model this trait of God. I can fill the voids in my life by filling the voids in the lives of others. We talked about God's provision, how God provides always the things we need. But I can do that. And it is the case that some of the voids in my life can be filled by my filling voids in other people's lives. Looking beyond myself to help others really can be very helpful to me. There are a lot of hurting people in the world. There are a lot of hurting people in the church. And if I can stop for just a moment to look beyond myself and to look at the lives of others, I might be able to see some of the voids that God is trying to fill through me in the lives of other people. I hope we're thankful for the opportunities God has given us to model the very characteristics of His life for which we ought also to be thankful. I would never deny the reality of hurt and emptiness and the sense of loss that is so often felt among us. The Lord knows we are all eventually stricken in that way at some point. But the reality for me and for you is that thanksgiving to God will always be an appropriate sentiment to express. And it can be a very therapeutic and healing sentiment if we work diligently to express it the way God has expressed it to us. May God help us to be always people who are thankful for the wonderful good He has always done and will continue to do for us. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I hope and we hope that you would understand enough this morning about God's goodness toward you to become more interested in Him, to learn the gospel to the point of obeying it. We are ready and willing to study with you and help you in any way that we can to help you see what hopefully we see about the goodness of God. Maybe you need to obey the gospel. Maybe there's some other need that we can help you with this morning. We're going to sing a song to encourage, and you have this opportunity as we stand and sing.